This morning, we have with us the Maine State Director for Straight Ahead Ministries. I'd like to invite Ken Hawley to come on up. Ken? Ken? Good morning, Ken. Good to see you, buddy. All right. Have a seat right there.
All right.
Ken, it is so good to have you here with us this morning, and I'm a huge fan of what you do, and Greg and I, we've had the opportunity to talk with you and hear about what's going on. You've set our hearts on fire for what you're doing with Straight Ahead,
Thank you.
So it's just really good to have you here with us this morning. Let's start by having you just tell us about Straight Ahead Ministries and what they're about.
Okay. Well, Straight Ahead Ministries has been around for about 25 years. We're currently ministering in 19 different states, and our focus is to work with young people that are incarcerated. And we're working with an age group between, believe it or not, as young as 11 all the way up to age 24. And our purpose really is to develop relationships with kids in lockup and hopefully introduce them to Jesus Christ and give them the hope that only Jesus can offer, really. And so, yeah, we're in 19 different states, and here in Maine, there's two youth correction facilities, one in South Portland called Long Creek Youth Development Center, and another one called Mountain View Youth Development Center. Mountain View is up near is in Charleston, about 40 miles west of Bangor, and most of you guys know that Long Creek is in South Portland. So, yeah, we're doing Bible studies, we mentor. Our focus really is we want to come alongside the facility, not just the chaplain. We'd like to be like the go-to organization so that whenever there's a need or a gap, they would come to Straight Ahead and hopefully give us the opportunity to fill that gap. And so if there's like a program that's been cut, like an art program, or maybe they can't afford a coach any longer for the basketball team, we would like to make the church aware of those needs, filling those gaps with salt and light, and giving us the opportunity to develop relationships with kids and hopefully, you know, eventually point them to Christ. And another part of the things what we do is we work with a chaplain too, of course, and we want to be able to do Bible studies and do faith-based mentoring and things like that. So, again, that's our goal, is to get inside the facilities here in Maine, develop relationships, and ultimately point them to Christ.
I love that. And very quickly, it just shows up how much passion you have for this. And I just know that your passion that is so contagious and your love for those kids is so genuine and real that you're seeing a great response to that. And so in the 5 years that you've been the Maine State Director for Straight Ahead, what kind of growth have you seen? How has the ministry changed and developed in those 5 years?
Yeah, that's a good question. When I came, I've been in prison ministry for about 10 years, maybe a little longer than that. My prison ministry started at Maine Correctional Center in Windham. But I've been with Straight Ahead now for 5 years. And when I came on board, we were really only in just two facilities, the one in South Portland, the youth center in South Portland, and also the one up in Charleston. And we really only had probably a handful of volunteers in those facilities, primarily just doing some Bible studies and some mentoring. And I'm very humbled to be here and humbled to say that God has opened the door up to 9 facilities now here in Maine. And so we're developing relationships with even more institutes, being that go-to organization, filling those gaps with salt and light, but also doing, you know, Bible studies and whatever. And it's really cool. A lot of times people might ask, like, you know, well, I thought you were kind of a youth ministry. Why are you in some of these other facilities? Well, the bottom line is probably, I would say, close to 50% of those people that are in lockup here in the state of Maine do fall in the 24 and under range. And so consequently, we want to be in every facility, giving every young person the opportunity to hear the gospel, respond to it, and then grow in their relationship. And that's where the discipleship piece comes in. But the heart, it's relatively easy doing ministry in lockup. We can go in and we can love these kids through programs and events and Bible studies. But the hard part is, honestly, church, is when they come out, you know, the recidivism rate is high. Most kids coming out of lockup are going to go back a second time and even a third time. And what's really sad and breaks my heart is when I leave Long Creek and, you know, having a young person in Long Creek at a Bible study and then go up to Maine State Prison and see that he's looking at 16 years at Maine State Prison. You know, and why is that? Because when they leave, and honestly, there's very few faith-based programs that are going to come alongside those young people to help them re-enter back into our communities as strong citizens. And the sad thing is, now you really got to go, the sad thing is that these kids have a lot of gifts and strengths. They're smart. They're good kids. They just never have been given the opportunity. And that's what we're all about. We want to create opportunity in lockup, but we also want to create opportunity for them when they leave.
I love that. In that, you said that we want every kid that is in lockup to hear about Jesus. And I love that statement, you know, and that is a contagious statement. You know, it's like, I want to be a part of that.
Yeah.
And I mean, so as you look at the vision of this ministry going forward from here, what does it look like? And I know this is a ministry that's happening nationally, it's happening internationally, but here in Maine, what does the vision of this ministry look like going forward from here?
Well, we're, as I mentioned, we're in 9 facilities right now. There's 16 county jails, and I think there's about 6 or 7 prisons. We want to be in all of them. We want to give every young person the opportunity to hear and respond to the gospel. So that's it. So how do we do that? Develop relationships with the staff and also with the chaplains. So grow our programs. Do more events in these facilities. Right now we're actually trying to put together a big event at Maine State Prison. There's about 900-plus inmates there, and we'd like to do a big concert there. We're talking like, you know, maybe casting crowds going in there and doing a full-blown thing, kind of like what we did when Louise Plow was in town, except do that in the facility. So those are some of the big pictures. We also want to, straight ahead in Massachusetts, we have a lot of aftercare stuff going on that we don't have here in Maine. Like, for an example, we have a coffee house where we employ people to come on a lockup and give them the opportunity to find out what it looks like to work in that atmosphere and mentor them the whole way through so that when they are ready to go out and get a real job, we've helped them, you know, adapt, help them get used to what it's like to work. So we have, in Massachusetts, we got a coffee house, we got a retail store, we got a catering business, we got a silk screening business. So this is all stuff that we hire those coming out of lockup, help them integrate back into their community. And then housing is a big deal. Most of the young people that come out of lockup have nowhere to go. And I'll tell you what, if they go back to where they came from, it's not a good thing. So we need to think about housing as well. So those are big things, big you know, things that we want to do in the future. But honestly, it cannot be done without the church. And it's cool, though, in a way. This is really cool because we know that a lot of state programs have been cut here in Maine, a lot of them, especially inside lockup, and even for those transitioning out of lockup. But it gives the church a really great opportunity to be to do what I think the church is supposed to do, honestly.
Absolutely. I mean, and that's what one of the things that I really appreciate about your ministry is you engage the local church, and that's just the way it should be, and it's beautiful. Yeah. I mean, so, you know, for 10 years, I worked with Straight Ahead in Ukraine, and we went into the youth prisons in Ukraine for a number of years, and it was the most amazing thing to get up and to tell these kids in that situation that you can have a freedom today in Jesus like you've never known in your life, right here and right now. And the faces of those kids are embedded in my mind. I can still see some of those kids' faces today. Yeah. You love those kids. And tell us about some of the kids that you're doing ministry to. Tell us about some of the kids that you're reaching out to and who they are.
Yeah. Again, I think if you guys had a chance to meet some of the kids I know in lockup, they wouldn't be any different from any kids that you know in your neighborhoods, in your homes. And what's exciting for me is to see such a hunger for hope, you know, in these facilities. These kids really are looking for hope. They've been abandoned for the most part. Their lives are broken. And they're really crying out for hope. So the cool thing about these kids is they're in a place now where they're like, there's got to be something else. And so they're really ready to hear about Christ. And what's so exciting is when they do begin to hear about Christ and they begin to become more and more interested about Christ, so often we lead them to Christ. And now they're doing Bible studies and now we're discipling them. And we're actually watching before our eyes this like transformation. And oh my goodness, how encouraging that is for us. And even the staff. The staff are like, wow, look what's happening in their lives. So it's really exciting. But again, as I mentioned earlier, although we may see transformation inside lockup, when they leave, they can easily default back into their old ways of thinking and their old behaviors. But they're good kids. I got a letter I could read to you.
Yeah, please.
That we have, I have some books. This book called Dear Sam. It's Dear Straight Ahead Ministries, Dear Sam. And we have a bunch of them out front. If you'd like to grab one, please help yourself. It's a gift from Straight Ahead to you. It's full of letters that we receive from kids in lockup telling us their story. And then we respond back to them with a letter, encouraging them with the hope of Christ. So please grab one of them. This letter that I'm about to read you, his name isn't Ben, but I'll use Ben for his name. He's 13 years old. He was in Long Creek about a year ago. He found this book. We try to get these books in all the units so that we're not actually handing them out. They hopefully discover them on their own. He found this on his own, and then he wrote a letter to us. And this will really kind of give you a good idea of what a kid looks like in lockup, what he's struggling with. My name is Ben. I'm 13. I read your book, Dear Sam, and it changed me. I was a very sick child. I used to torture animals. I used to be immature, and now I'm a new man. You see, I was very abused as a child. My parents called it tough love. I got scars all over my body, some self-afflicted and some not. I have one very memorable scar on my forearm. I took a hot, dull pocket knife and stabbed myself. I'm writing to you to get help. I've talked to countless therapists, but I'm putting my trust in you. I have severe chronic depression, and it's taking over. I just hate it. I'm still a little immature. I hope you understand. I act like I'm going insane and from another planet at times. I get made fun of all the time, and they even tell me to go kill myself, and I'm considering it. This is the part that really gets me. I don't know who to trust. I need help fast. God is too busy for my problems. I don't think I take it much longer. Sincerely, Ben. So that's kind of what, I mean, if you were to read this, please grab this book. But that's what the stories kind of look like. They're good kids, and they've come from a really tough background. But what's so encouraging to me is I get to know these kids. They are chock full of talent and intelligence and gifts that I believe are just waiting to be encouraged. And we as a church can encourage those gifts, and I know they can enter back into our communities, entering back into enjoying the plan that God has for their life.
Thank you for sharing that letter. It's powerful. As, Scripture talks specifically about ministering to people in this very situation, and there's lots of other Scripture I know that just motivates you to do what you do. Can you just share with us some of what that is and what that looks like?
Yeah, thank you. I might have to get out of the stool because I'll start getting cranked up when I share this, a little talk about this. But, you know, one of the Scriptures that I think of a lot, and you guys probably are familiar with this Scripture, it's the story of the Good Samaritan. Jesus is having a conversation with this religious expert. And this religious expert's challenged him about love and what love looks like. And so Jesus tells the story to this religious expert. And he says this. He goes, yeah, there was this guy, this Jewish guy, and he's walking down this road on his way to Jericho, and these bandits jump out and they attack him. They attack him, they beat him up. He's bleeding. He's half dead, and he's been robbed by these bandits. And he's left in this ditch and forgotten. He's left in this ditch and forgotten. And then along comes a priest. The priest notices him in the ditch. But the priest just kind of scoots over to the other side of the road and takes off. And then along comes a Bible study teacher. And he also sees this man, this young man in the ditch. And he notices him and scoots off. And I got to ask myself, like, why? Why would they leave him in the ditch? I really don't know. Maybe they were too busy. Maybe they had other things on their mind. But along comes this good Samaritan, And the interesting thing, the Samaritan and this Jewish man in the ditch that's suffering, they're enemies. They don't like each other. But along comes this Samaritan, and he notices this young man in this ditch. And he reaches down, and he pulls him out of this ditch, and he takes care of his wounds. And he puts him on his donkey, and he takes him to an inn, and he takes care of them. And eventually he leaves him with the innkeeper and gives the innkeeper money. He says, look, I'll be back to check on him. And if you need more money to take care of him, I'll be back to give you whatever you need. So how does that tie into Straight Ahead Ministries? When I go into lockup, I cannot help but see young people who've been robbed as they've traveled down the road of life. And as circumstances would have it, they too have been ripped off, beaten, abused, and left in a ditch and forgotten. Left in a ditch even to die. And I'll tell you what, it's sad, but it's true. And so, my friends, you know, my challenge to all of us, including myself, you know, can we say, you know, thief, drug dealer, drug addict, liar, prisoner, and friend in the same sentence? You know, the truth of the matter is, these young people, these troubled young people in lockup will remain troubled in lockup unless we reach down into that ditch and pull them out and love them with the love of Christ. So, yeah. I do have one other story, but...
Share it.
In Matthew 25, Jesus talks about how when we love the least of these, we've actually loved him. You know, we know that when we love somebody or do something, we're doing it for Jesus. But in Matthew 25, it talks about when we actually love the least of these, we're not just doing it for him, but we're actually doing it to him. So who are the least of these? And he lists that early in the chapter. The least of these are the homeless, the poor, the widow, you know, the abused, the outcast, the broken, and those in prison. And so when Jesus says, when you love these, you've actually loved me. And what I'm finding so exciting about ministry, and I want this for all of you. If you guys really want to have like a radical experience, encounter with a living Christ, then when, go out and love him. Go out and actually love him, because it will wreck you. It will wreck you. It will change everything about you. It will change you. It will change your world and the world we live in. You know, I was... Before I do so much administration stuff now, but when I first got involved in Straight Ahead, I was doing a lot of Bible studies. And I was at Long Creek doing Bible study for about a year, and I had about 10 guys coming to my Bible study for about a year. And I got to know these young men really, really well. And they faithfully came back every single Wednesday. And one particular Bible study, we're talking about the Father's love. And these guys don't get it. These young men don't understand the Father's love, because most of them never had a positive relationship with a male, let alone a dad, right? And so I wanted them to understand what the Father's love looked like. But anyways, long story short, at the end of the Bible study, I said, look, guys, if there's anybody here that has never really had a loving embrace or hug from your dad, then I want to give you the opportunity, if you'd like, because I believe God would like to hug you through me. And I knew a few guys would want a hug, but I didn't have any clue that all of them would want a hug. And they weren't really just like, you know, quick hugs. We embraced each other. It was powerful. And I remember leaving Long Creek right afterwards. And I was so filled with emotion. I was so filled like, what just happened? I mean, I was like, I don't think I've ever experienced that much joy in my entire life. And as I was leaving, I was thinking, you know, Lord, what is going on? And I felt like he said, he reminded me that when you love them, you did it to me. When you hug them, you did it to me. And I think I had a physical encounter with a living Christ. And it wrecked me. It changed me. And if you could just like give me some more of that, like, yeah, I'll take that all day long. Church, I want that for you guys. I don't know where God's calling you, but you want to have a physical, real encounter with the living Christ, then what Jesus says, go love him by loving those. And so we want to give you the opportunity to do that if you're interested, church. We can open the doors up for you, and you can go into lockup. You can love them. And I'm telling you what, when you leave, you will be blown away, because God will use you more than you realize. Everyone here is fully equipped. If you know God, you're fully equipped. So we're going to have a Q&A, I think, coming up, huh?
We are, yeah. We're going to talk about that. First, you know, Greg couldn't be here this morning because he is in California for a very important family event, which I'm sure he'll talk more about next week. But he is here with us via video this morning. So let's go ahead and show that video.
Hi, everyone. Robin and I are in California this weekend for a special family event, but I didn't want to miss the opportunity to tell you how excited I am about Ken's ministry and about the opportunity we have as a church to partner with him in helping young people in lockup find and follow Jesus. I have spent enough time with Ken to feel the heat of his passion and to see the clarity of his vision and to scrutinize his track record. I would not ask you to consider volunteering with Straight Ahead unless I was 100% behind it. Well, I am. And that's why I want to encourage you to pray about how you might be involved and to go to that orientation meeting tomorrow night to explore how you might be able to use your spiritual gifts in this ministry. Thank you for doing that. And thank you, Ken, for sharing your ministry with us and for giving us the joy and the privilege of locking arms with you in giving love away.
I love that. I love that. So we have one more endorsement. That was Greg. We have one more endorsement, Bono. Oh, no, actually, we don't have Bono. Okay, we don't have Bono. But I know that if Bono knew about this ministry, he would be behind it 100%.
Thank you.
I couldn't resist. Sorry. So talk about what we're going to do next.
All
so
right.
By the way, if you didn't catch on, we as a church, we want to get involved in this because this is something that is going to change the lives of young people forever. And there's an opportunity here for us to get to be a part of that in a wonderful way. And Ken, who, I mean, you are so gifted for this, and you are running with it. And it's amazing to watch what happens when you do that. As you said, you've been transformed by that. And I want that for so many of us. And so talk a little bit about what's next if we want to get involved in this.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Before I got involved in this ministry, I was saved. I love Jesus, and I love to serve him whenever. But once I got involved in this ministry, it has totally transformed me. I've grown so much in my relationship just by entering in or answering this call. And I encourage you guys to consider too. So, and it may not be Straight Ahead. Maybe God's calling you elsewhere, and that's fine. But tomorrow night, we're going to have a Q&A. Where are we going to be doing this question and answer thing? Down at the...
at the Ministry Center.
Ministry Center. And I think that's going to be at 7 o'clock. 6:30.
Six o'clock.
6 o'clock. So come, and this is just to check things out. You know, you'll have questions. I'll answer them, and we'll go from there. But I know you'll have a lot of questions, and if you don't, I'll have questions for you. So I'll answer those questions that may be on your heart. So check that out. We're only going to be there 1 hour, and then if you're interested from there, the following Saturday we're going to be at the same place, and I think that's at 9 o'clock, and we're going to go from 9 to about 11:30, 11:45, and we're going to do an orientation. And then we're going to talk more about, like, you know, and even after that, doesn't mean you're necessarily committed. You're still kind of doing this discovery thing. But after that, we'll give you an application, and if you feel led to fill that out, we can get you inside lockup, and we can talk about what that looks like. But really what I'm looking for is not just one or two people to say, yeah, I want to do this. Really what would make this work best is a team. Like maybe a solid 10 or even more people say, I like to maybe make this into a small group. Maybe we'll make this a small group. We'll meet weekly and talk about this. And then we'll go out and be the hands and feet of Christ. And we'll come back to our small group and talk about what God's doing. That could be a way, an opportunity for you. But anyways, that happens tomorrow night. It's, again, this orientation the following Saturday. And we're going to talk about the team and what it looks like. We definitely need a few team leaders. And you know what? We need people to do things behind the scenes, too. So you may not necessarily want to go in lockup, but we might need you to help support those that are going inside. And this is really cool. My son, and you know my son, Blake, he's a jazz guitarist. And I really never got into jazz so much in the past, but now I'm a huge fan, of course. And this guy named George Shearing, this is to encourage you, because I know a lot of you might feel like this is way out of my comfort zone. Way out of my comfort zone. And it was for me too at first. But listen to what George Shearing said. Jazz pianist, he says, he loves to tell the story about himself. I was standing at a busy street intersection during rush hour and waiting for someone to help him across the street. When another blind man tapped him on the shoulder and asked if he would help him get across the street. "What could I do?" Shearing said. "I took him across the street. And it was the greatest thrill I ever had in my life." It is a little scary. You might go into this a little blind, but I think it's worth checking out. And I know it will be the greatest thrill of your life if you decide to enter in. So maybe we'll see you Monday night.
Yeah, that's great. So Monday night, tomorrow night, the 12th, 6 o'clock at the Ministry Center. It's just a Q&A. If you are just curious, you want to learn more about this, you want to hear more about it, you can be there. And then on the 17th, next Saturday morning at 9 o'clock at the Ministry Center, that's going to be more information. It's going to be more in-depth. But again, it doesn't mean you're committed. You just come and find out more about it and find out if it is an area of ministry that maybe God is calling you into. And so, Ken, I just thank you so much for coming and being here with us this morning, because your passion for this, it's a testimony to us, not just for this ministry, but again, because we want Give Love Away, giving the love of God away to be a part of who we are as the body of Christ. And so this is just a good reminder. You're a good reminder of what it looks like and what it feels like to be all in with that. And to live up to that new commandment that Jesus gave us, to love each other as Christ loves the church. And you're doing that. And so it's just awesome to see. So thank you for being with us. And you can talk to Ken after the service out in the lobby as well. So he'll be out there waiting to talk to you if you'd like to. Ken, thank you.
Thank you very much.